and welcome to the Triathlon Coach Podcast. My name's Simon Ward and I'm your host for this weekly show where my goal is to share practical, usable advice from the best athletes, coaches and experts from the world of triathlon so that you can get the most from your training time and maximize your enjoyment of the triathlon lifestyle. If you don't already know me, I'm the founder of thetriathloncoach.com and the SWAT Inner Circle, and I've been a triathlon coach for over 20 years, working with absolute beginners right up to Olympic athletes and coaching them to race at distances from sprint through to Ironman. Reviews and ratings are the currency of podcasts, so if you enjoy today's conversation, I'd really appreciate it if you could drop into iTunes, Podbean or Stitcher and leave a rating and a review. And while you're there, please subscribe to our weekly episodes so that they can be downloaded straight into your phone or your iPad or wherever you choose to listen to them. And finally, to say thank you, I have a free gift for you. I've put together 25 of my top tips amassed from 30 years of racing and training and coaching in the sport. All you have to do is email triathlonsuccess to beth@thetriathloncoach.com and she'll send it right out to you. Okay, now it's time to crack on with today's guest. Hey, welcome back, listeners. This is Simon Ward, your host for the weekly Triathlon Coach Swapcast call. And today I'm being joined by two gentlemen who are the organisers of this year's UMUK, Ultraman UK. So on the other line, we have Ben Perrison.
Hi, Ben. Simon.
And we also have his partner, organising partner, Darren Welsh.
Hi, Simon.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Yeah, doing great. Thank you for having us.
No, it's a pleasure. I'm always interested in events that are slightly out of the ordinary, and Ultraman is definitely one of those things. I'm sort of familiar with the brand because there is an event that's been running in Hawaii for many years called Ultraman Hawaii, staged over 3 days. And I guess yours, using the same name, is probably going to follow a similar format, is it?
Yes, Simon, it's exactly the same format. In fact, UMUK used to be part of a franchise until 2013. The previous company got out of the franchise. And then when we took the company over in 2017, we carried on as an independent event. But the format, the actually 3 days format and everything behind it is the same.
Okay, well, what we'll do is we'll come back to exactly what the event is and the three different events you've got running. Let's go back a bit, because when you wrote to me, Ben, I sort of recognised your surname and I was racking my brains thinking where it's from. And of course, I meet a lot of people when I'm commentating at events and, you know, on my Facebook pages. So I couldn't quite remember until we chatted. We both did Marathon des Sables, another one of those iconic bucket list adventure races. And I think it was 2015, wasn't
correct,
it?
Correct, yeah. We went together in the same British team. Britain and Northern Ireland, wasn't it? Yes. And in fact, that's when I met Darren, when we were getting ready to race for the Marathon des Sables. I met Darren in 2014. We trained together. And then we went and did it as a team as well. And that's where I met you. I think you were a couple of tents next to ours, I think.
I think so. On the other side of your tent, I think you had Rory Coleman and Ranulph Fiennes, didn't you? So you'd have been woken up every morning by Ranulph Fiennes doing his BBC reports to breakfast time.
Yeah, that's
TV.
Right. Yeah, he was there. He did really well.
He did, yes. And on our on the other side of us, we had the Walking Wounded or Walking for Wounded team, which included Graham Bell. And Graham would interrupt our tent every night, particularly the girls in our tent enjoyed the fact that Graham would stand outside his tent getting the last of the day's sun wearing just nothing but a pair of Union Jack boxer shorts.
In fact, I think the MDS is on now. I think they are either on day four or day five.
Does it not start on a... It usually starts... The last day is usually on a Saturday, isn't it? I think. And so... The big stage will start. Does the big stage start when go Wednesday and Thursday, and then they have the marathon day on Friday, and then you have final sort of charity thing on the
Saturday. Yeah, right. Yeah, correct. I think so. It should be in day three today, then.
Yeah, they'll be trying to conserve their energy before they have to do that that long one tomorrow. I remember, do you remember when we did it? It was 90 kilometres, wasn't it, through, and we, I don't know about you, but we didn't finish until probably lunchtime on the next day, and I think we only had a couple of hours of sleep in the middle of the night on some deck chairs that somebody had kindly put out in the middle of the desert.
Yeah, I do remember that longest stage. In fact, I mean, I do remember the last 10K. I don't know if you remember. It was very sandy, and you just wanted to finish. I think it's from the last checkpoint to the finish line. It was horrible, but I really enjoyed it anyway.
Yeah. I can remember that. That was what wrecked my Achilles tendons. And fortunately, the medics, the Doc Trotter medics, they were handing out tramadol painkillers like Smarties. So they gave us a handful each, and we swallowed those, and that got us through the first half of the marathon. And then we asked for some more, and they gave us another handful, and that got us through to the finish.
That was a great, great race. Good memories. I'd love to go back. I don't know you, but one day.
No, I'm done with MDS. I've done it twice now. That's enough. But it's. I'd certainly recommend it to other people. But not long after MDS, then did you and Darren go to do Ultraman UK, or was it just you?
No, so what happened, we did the MDS together, and I asked Darren if he wanted to crew for me at the UM UK. Now, I don't know if people know this, but it is not only a hard three-day event, but also you need to have a good support crew behind you for you to be able to complete the event. So I asked Darren and Claire, my wife, and they crewed for me during the three-day event. And that was at the end of August 2015.
So, Darren, I'm going to come to you now. What was it like being a crew member? Because obviously in the MDS you used to participating and doing the stuff. Now all of a sudden you stood on the sidelines having to sort of fetch and carry for Ben while he's getting to do all the exciting stuff.
I have to say it was absolutely brilliant. When Ben first told me about the race, the Ultraman race, I just couldn't believe it. I'd never heard anything like that before. The distances that are involved. I mean, the thing that caught my attention was just the 6 mile swim on day one, and then the 90K bike, or 90 mile bike rather, following it. And I just wanted to get involved. And when he asked me about being a crew, I just thought, yeah, I'm going to do that. I've got to see what this race is all about. And to answer your question specifically, being a crew member, you are absolutely involved in the success of the athlete. They rely on you. And that's just such a unique experience. I haven't experienced that anywhere else on any other event. So it was really, really good.
Okay. So did you get the bug for doing it as a competitor after having watched Ben do it?
Yeah, completely. It's such a unique format. I mean, obviously we did the multi-stage MDS, and having crewed and watched the athletes go through on Ben's race, it just whetted my appetite for that type of event. You know, it was a real, something that I'd never ever done before. And the three triathlon disciplines, you know, it was just something, that I really wanted to have a go at. But unfortunately, the year I was due to do it, the previous company, the organisers, decided that they weren't going to run the event anymore, which kind of led me to inquire. I was interested in running it, also had an interest in staging an event. So we kind of put the two together, really, and had a chat with Ben and his wife. And that led to us having a meeting with the previous company. And then we took it over and obviously continued to run the event for the first time last year. But I haven't yet had the opportunity to do the event, so that's still on my bucket list.
So that's quite interesting. And you that must have been a bit of a blow, having trained all summer, having been there in 2015. So 2 years later, you've got yourself all revved up, you've done all the training, and then you find out halfway through your training or something that the race is not going to go ahead. So that's one blow. But then to resurrect that, you decided to sort of help everybody else who was disappointed by taking over the race and putting it on and organise it yourself, so what you're saying, if I understand right, is that last year was the first year you did organise UM UK.
Yes, exactly. And it's the first time that this is completely new to us. We've done lots of events between us over the years, but we've never ever staged or organised an event at all. So it was a real first experience on both fronts for us.
Okay, so you were alluding, both you and Ben were alluding to the ridiculous distances that are involved in doing an Ultraman. So you've got three events on this year. The headline one, of course, is the Ultraman distance itself. So you've already mentioned that it's divided over 3 days, and you sort of briefly touched on it there. So tell us what the total distances are for the race, and then how are they broken up over the 3 days?
Well, day one is, well, the three races, the total distance for UMUK is 515 kilometres. The second event we've got running is a shorter race following the same format, which is 355 kilometres. And then the third event is the relay.
So 515.
Yeah, so it's over the UMUK distance of 515 kilometres, but it's split between a relay team. So the individual, the day totals are, for day one, it's a 10-kilometre swim and 136K on the bike. Then day two is a 270-kilometre bike, and day three is an 84-kilometre run. Then for the 355 event, it's a 5K swim and a 100K bike. Day two is 197K bike, and day three is a 56K run.
Sorry, what was the bike on day two?
The bike on day two, hang on 1 second. Yeah, on the 355, it's 197 kilometres.
Right, and then what's the run for the 355?
56K, yeah.
56K, right. So for anybody who's thinking of doing the 355 because it's a little bit easier, it's not that much easier, really, is it?
Well, no, but what we're trying to do, we're trying to bridge the gap between a standard Ironman and an ultra-distance triathlon. I think, as we said before, the market's, you know, there's lots and lots of races that do continuous multiple Ironman, but we've kind of added a different twist to it by staging over 3 days. And as you know from MDS, having that little bit of rest and then going into what is progressively a harder day, you've really got to have a strategy, an alternate strategy, really, rather than just, you know, a tough mindset to keep going, you know, for as long as you can. You're going to rest, you're going to stiffen up, you've got to refeed and go again on a harder day. So it's a real different aspect to racing.
Yeah, that is the thing, isn't it? I know, you know, we talk about other events, and you mentioned in the brief that you sent me that obviously, you know, in South Wales, you've got the Long Course Weekend, which is an iron distance event over 3 days, similar structure to yours, but just a swim and then just a bike and then just a run on the three separate days. So your sort of fit, the 355 fits quite nicely into above that for people then wanting to do the bigger distance, but also you've got the challenge of you've still got even on the 355 you've still got to bike 100k after swimming 5k, and then you'll feel a little tired after that, and then you've got to get up the next day and swim ride 200k, which would probably be further than most people have done in a day cycling, not to mention the 56 kilometers of running.
Yeah, exactly, and the course profiles are challenging, you know. It's again, that's an aspect that we're promoting a lot. It is a very, not only is it challenging distance wise, but profiles are as well.
Okay, so let's talk about the courses you've got then. So where does the swim take place?
The swim's in Lake Barla. So we have a 1K loop course. We've considered options like an end to end, which is Lake Barla. You know, you could do a 10K end to end twice if you like to get that distance, but the loop course just provides a lot more interaction with the support crew as well, and it's a safer option. So we've kind of stuck with the 1K loop.
Do the swimmers do like a little exit after each lap then, or do you have like a pontoon area where they can get feed from their support?
Exactly right. Yeah, they don't have to. It's not an Australian exit. They can get out if they want to. It's not a problem. But we operate from a pontoon, so the support crew can position themselves there. And the swimmers come in as and when they need to.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I've done the amphibian race at the Blue Lagoon in Doncaster, and that's 10 1K loops. And when you get out of the water, then you've got a little feed station where you can put your own feed there, and they put your bottles and everything. and you've got a support crew. I've also seen that at the Great North Swim and probably other great swim events, for the 10K swimmers, they have a like a little inflatable that's moored out just off to the side of the loop where the swimmers can go and just hang on and get some drinks if they want to. So this sort of two sounds like you've got both options.
Yeah, exactly
there.
Right. Yeah, it's up to them. They can do what they like.
Okay, so now you're not supporting this event, as in you're not providing any feed stations or any aid stations or anything. So that do the swimmers have to provide their own kayaks, or do you have water safety?
No, it's one difference from Ultraman, where they specify the swimmers have a kayak support crew during the swim. We put out a number of kayaks just as a support, as a swim safety, but they're not there to support the swimmer in the water. They're purely there from a safety aspect.
I guess if it's just a 1K loop and you've got lots of competitors, then it might get a bit congested if everyone had a kayak with them. Whereas on most of the Ultramans that I'm aware of, it's either an out and back or a point to point swim, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, and the format worked really well last year. You know, when we started the swim, we had some issues with fog. We delayed the start to see if it lifted, but it didn't. So we ended up setting off the swimmers in two groups, one faster, one slower, with the associated kayak to lead them through the fog until such time as it was safe enough to let them swim on their own. So, yeah, it works well. It works well.
Okay, so the biggest challenge, I would think, for the swimmers there is that Valla Lake's quite cold, isn't it, as lakes go, although I guess in late August it's probably going to be at its warmest for the summer, but it'll still be quite chilly.
Yes, I think last year I think it was about 15, 16 degrees. Now, if you are British and you're used to this, it shouldn't be a problem. But I'm not British, obviously, but I had some Spanish friends also racing when I did it in 2015, and they struggle a bit. So you really need to have all your suits and your hats and your gloves there. I don't think it's cold. But it's up to the person. So it's I think the coldest they had it, it's been about 12 degrees. So you really have to be prepared for the temperature.
Well, I suppose the thing about these events, guys, is that they're supposed to be a challenge. And if we give them lukewarm water to swim in, and we give them a flat bike course and a downhill run, you know, you've got to be out there for some time, but it's not really that challenging. And, you know, I've done the Norseman, and the water in the fjords there can get quite cool. I saw in the Patagonia Man that they had just before Christmas there, they're sort of forecasting temperatures of 12 to 13 degrees in the lake. So, you know, it's all part and parcel of the fun of these events, isn't it? It's a complete challenge from start to finish.
No, exactly. I've done Norseman as well, and it was a lot colder than Valla, so I tell you that. So, yeah. No, if you have the right equipment with you, you have your hat and, as I said before, your suit, you shouldn't have any problems. But that's the beauty of having 1K loops. You can always exit the water, get warmer. I remember when I did in 2015, I came out once and I had a hot chocolate in between, you know, about 3-4 Ks in. And then I went back in and carry on swimming. So you just work out the strategy, how you want to do it, you know, how you're feeling. Because also it's how you feel during the day. You know, you might be feeling really well and you want to do, you know, 2-3 K before you do your first stop. I think this, at least the 10K swim, is open to a different level of swimmers, not just the very good swimmers, but also the slow swimmers. I am a slow swimmer, and I had no problem finishing the 10K. So, yeah, I don't see any problem. I think it's a good challenge, but it's very doable as well.
Do you have a cutoff for the swims at all?
Yeah, 6 hours. So for the UMUK full distance, okay. The 10K, start at 7 in the morning and finish at 1 p.m. The 355 starts at 10 in the morning and finish at 1 p.m. So they have 3 hours to do the 5K. The full distance have 6 hours to do the 10K. which is a very generous time, if I'm honest.
Okay, so let's move on then. So we're not done there on day one, because the cyclists have either got 136K or 100K to do. So one of the things that I've noticed about some of the ultra-long races is that they do multiple loops. Even the brutal races, which take part around the Snowdon area, have multiple loops. But what you're saying here is you've just got one big loop each day. Does that make it difficult to marshal, or do you not provide marshals? Do you send the riders out with a road book and they have to find their own way?
Yeah, exactly right, Simon. We provide a GPX file for their sat navs and their bike computers, and that's all pre-tested, so it works 100%. There's no errors on it. The crews have a road book as well, which identifies all the turns, the road junctions that they need to make a turn. And we don't have any marshals out on the course at the turn points, but we do have motorbike marshals patrolling. And that's really for two reasons. One's a safety aspect, just to see if there's anyone that has a drama away from their support crew where we can assist. And also to check for drafting. You know, obviously the guys are out on long courses. It's not looped, as you say. So with a presence from the motorbike guys, then it just keeps, you know, ensures people, they will play by the same rules.
Okay. So I didn't ask you. So can you give us a sort of like a sneaky peek into where the bike route goes roughly for those people who know this area?
Yeah, certainly. So on day one, from Lake Barla, the course generally heads through the centre of Park, Snowdonia National Park, and then goes up into the north, up towards Carmarthen, and finishes back at Swallow Falls Hotel. So that's on day one. Day two, we start at the Swallow Falls Hotel, and it follows basically a very large figure of eight pattern, which goes southwest down through Festiniog to the coast, and then I can't actually pronounce the town names, but it goes right down through Barmouth, does a little loop round there, and then heads back up northeast up towards Ruthin, and then back over to the west towards Betsy Coed again at Swallow Falls Hotel.
Okay. So what sort of ascent have we got each day then?
Okay, so the ascents are, for UMUK day one, the total gain is 2,000 metres on the bike. On day three, which is a 270K bike. Day two. Yeah. The total gain is 3,600 metres.
Okay. Well, so there's a fair bit of climb. That's a big old day then, 272K and 3,600 metres.
It is.
And that's not going to be long, steady climbs like you get in the Alps, is it? It's going to be shorter and probably a bit...
Yeah, exactly right. So we use Map My Ride, if you're familiar with that, and some of the climbs that are classified through that software. Mm. We have one Category 2 climb, two Category 3s, and one Cat 4. So there are some steep climbs in there.
Yeah, okay. And of course, there'll be lots of other little bumps along the way that are just softening people's legs up.
Exactly right. Yeah, I mean, the day two bike, there is, if you looked at the total profile, it's within the first kind of 25K, there's a big climb, then which is going over the Penny Pass to the coast, and then you're on the coast for, you know, a good portion of the route, which is flat or undulating. Then around about 160K, you've got a big climb, and then you're undulating again to the finish, but the climbs are bigger.
So you come back to the Swallow Falls Hotel. Is that the centre point where every day finishes?
Yeah, that's where we run the race from.
Okay, and then what about the run on day three then? Just a small matter of either 56K for the 355ers or 84K for the relay and the 5-on-5.
Well, the run, I think, personally, my background's running, I think it's a really, really good course, you know, given that you've got to do the previous 2 days in advance, but it basically circumnavigates the mountain. So we start from the Swallow Falls Hotel again. We run downhill for a very short period of time, and we do a little loop just round the forest tracks before we head out basically towards Penny Pass, which is a gradual climb. Then we head down through to Lamberis, around the mountain, and then back up to through Bed Gellert to back to Swallow Falls.
So you're coming up Penny Pass from west to east, is that right? And then turning right at the top and going past the youth hostel and down along hill in Lamberis.
Yeah.
I've cycled that route, and in fact, the original Ironman UK, way back in probably 2001, was based in Lamberis, and the second year, the run went up to the top of the pass and came back down. Yeah. And I remember thinking then, you know, when your legs are tired and you're running downhill for 7 miles and then getting hitting the flats before you get into the village, that's going to make it sore the next morning.
Yeah, completely. I mean, you can't underestimate the run. I mean, we had a guy who ran last year for us. He's done UTMB, if you're familiar with that race. You know, the one
in... I've not done it, but I know
He did that, and he compared our event, and specifically the run, and he said it's the hardest thing he's ever done. It's certainly a challenge, without a doubt.
Okay, let's just touch on the relay then. So, one thing I forgot to ask you then. On the run, how many metres are you gaining in height throughout that 84K?
So the total gain is 1,400 metres.
Okay, that's a fair amount of climbing.
Yeah, it's got a...
Probably similar to the Three Peaks, actually.
It's probably right, yeah, it would be.
Okay, now... Normally, if you were doing a triathlon relay, you'd have somebody doing the swim, somebody doing the bike, and somebody doing the run. Is that how it's designed here, or could you have four people?
Actually, you could have two. You need to have a team of three. You can have a team of three people, and you decide whether two of you or three of you are going to race. And it's basically whoever starts the stage, finish that stage. So let's say I do the 10K swim and Darren does the bike on day one. That's fine. Then I can do the bike on day two, and then Darren can run on the day three. So it's entirely up to you. Or you can have a person doing the swim and the bike on day one, another person doing day two, another person doing day three. So it's very flexible in that aspect. You know, it's very flexible. You can have two or three competitors, athletes, obviously. Whoever is competing, then you have the other two guys doing the support crew. But at the end,
and can you have more people in the support crew? Then are you limited to the two?
No, you can have more people if you want to. But we only allowed one vehicle per team.
Right, I'm with you. So you could, if you had one of those transporter vans, which is popular with triathletes now, you could have four or five people in there going around as your support crew, couldn't you?
That's correct. You can have your family. That's the beauty about the UMUK. We're trying to showcase the race, not just as a very tough race, but also a race that you can share with your family, share with your friends. We had one person last year who brought their family. So there was a daughter and the son also being a support crew. We have this year, we have a guy coming, doing actually 355 from Germany, and his support crew is going to be his family. So it's a very nice atmosphere, to be honest. It's a very nice event that you can share your passion, you can share your tears, your love for the sports, but also, take your family with you and do it together.
Do you know, we talked about the Norseman earlier and the Marathon des Sables, and apart from the events, which I enjoyed enormously, looking back on it, there was bits of the MDS I didn't really enjoy, but looking back on it, one of the things that I really enjoyed, which set them apart from doing an Ironman, was the logistical part of it, the planning, the food that I would need for Marathon des Sables, you know, the fact that I had a backpack, which meant I was limited in what I could take, and, you know, I could have taken what I wanted, but then you've got to carry it around, of course, and the more you carry, the more calories you burn, so the more you need to carry, etc. And then the Norseman, what I really enjoyed there was the fact that you were able to have a support crew, who could drive to certain points, hand you food up. So it was making all the water bottles from my bike, putting the food into little packages that would sort of sustain me from one section to another, and then arranging where my support person was going to meet me at certain sections of the run, and then to go up the mountain. And that seems to be something that's quite big about this event, is that there's an awful lot of planning has to go into to how you're going to approach the race on each particular day, not just in terms of your pacing, but also logistical, you know, who's going to be doing what where. And it's quite possible that your support crew are going to be up for sort of, you know, 15 or 20 hours a day, getting you ready in the morning and then staying up. So they've got to be on the ball. They've got to plan their own day out. They've got to be mindful of driving around the countryside and sticking to the road rules, but also making sure that they get ahead of their riders to be at the next stop.
Yeah, that's a very good point you've made. And, you know, it's a challenge in itself for the support crew to achieve all of that. But what I would say is that when we supported Ben, and last year when we ran the race, without fail, all support crews, they just love it. It's such a good aspect for them to be involved in. Yeah. You know, it really, really is.
Yeah, it's not just like being at an Ironman, is it, where you say, right, I'm going to stand on this corner, and then they're going to go out there, and then they're going to run back, and they're going to be doing 10K laps, or they're going to be doing 50Ks on the bike. So, you know, it's going to take them about 2 hours to do that. So every 2 hours, we'll stand here and cheer. It's not easy. If you want to get from one side of Snowdon to the other, there's only a few roads you can use, and you've got to work out, well, so they're riding at an average of 13 miles an hour, and it's 25 miles from there, so it should be 2 hours, but we've got to drive 50 kilometres around this narrow little road to get over there, and we need to be there by this time to make sure we get there. And then you get there and you think, well, have they gone past now, or haven't they? You know, personally, I found that a really, really interesting challenge from a support crew point of view, to make sure you get it all right.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I've got two things to add to that. One is the support crew. You have a direct impact on your athlete success, without doubt. You know, it's not so much thinking on your feet, but, you know, you will encounter times during the days where your athlete, they're just relying on you to do something to help them. So that, you know, that's very apparent. But also, we supply the athletes with trackers, so you can, as a support crew, you can monitor where your athlete is.
Okay.
You know,
Signal's not always the best.
No, that's right. I mean, that's a valid point. I mean, the trackers we use, which are a general tracker that most endurance races tend to use, they run on cellular networks. So you are at the mercy of signal coverage. And there are one or two points on the routes that we have where they just drop out, but it's not prohibitive, and it's still a benefit to have them.
Here's a question for you then. You may have already got this covered, or it might be an idea for you to implement before this year's race. You've just mentioned how much of an impact support crew has on the performance and perhaps the ability of the athlete to finish. So given that you've recognised that, and the fact that both of you have experienced it, do the support crew get a finisher's medal when the athlete gets a finisher's medal? And do the support crew get a commemorative T-shirt for their efforts to wear during the race and afterwards in recognition of the help that they've been to their athletes?
Yeah, Darren is smiling here. The answer is no. No, they do get, as part of the welcome pack, they get two UMUK shirts for the support crew,
okay,
for your crew. But the medal and the finisher T-shirt goes to the athlete.
Okay. The reason I mentioned that is I heard Mark Livesey interviewing Louise Minchin about Patagonia Man, and they have a support crew there, and it's equally grueling because you've got to drive through the mountains, and, you know, there are 60-kilometer detours that you have to do over mountain passes to get ahead of your athlete. And quite a lot of the finishers there were saying, "Oh, my support crew should get a medal as well for all the hard work they've done." And it was a common discussion point, which seemed to meet with approval from a lot of the athletes.
Well, we'll definitely take it on.
Anyway, you're the organisers, guys.
Yeah, no, definitely. I will definitely think about it. We'll take it on board.
Why were you smiling, Darren? Is that one of your ideas that you've
yeah,
raised?
Yeah, everybody wants a medal, right? And I agree. You know, they work so hard. And, you know, the same, our experience was, and we were warned of this by the previous organisers when they said, you know, you've got to be on your game. It is really tough being support crew. So I think we should give them something. I don't know quite what at the moment. We'll have to talk about it. But, yeah, you certainly earn it.
Yeah, it sounds like a great event. And the other thing that interests me is that if you're bored of the Ironman format, if you're looking for a challenge that's going to stretch your comfort zone but just involve more people, and let's face it, doing adventure races like this is not always the best thing for spouses and other people, because they're the ones who have to sit around while the athletes are doing their bit every weekend, you know, every evening, every morning. So there's a great deal of involvement. There's the logistics, but you do get to go to racing parts of the world where you might not normally get to hang out for very long. You know, a lot of people going to Snowdonia might just follow the normal touristy stuff. Here, you're going to get to hang around in a beautiful part of the world for 3 days, spend time with your mates, share some deep, dark moments with them, which you know, you might not enjoy at the time, but when you look back on it, over a beer in the pub, they'll seem like quite good fun. It makes it slightly different. It's sort of like triathlon adventure.
Yes, well, it's what Darren mentioned before. The support crew last year loved it, and they get so involved in the race that they feel they are part of the race. Well, and they are, basically. You know, the athletes depend on them. And I remember comment from some of the support crew saying that they've been to Snowdonia before, but they never seen the Snowdonia the way they experience it during the race. So your point is valid, and exactly what Darren said before is, it's a race that is for everybody, not just for the athlete, but also for the support crew. And to be honest, us as organizers, we love it too. We go around the routes all 3 days, supporting the athletes and supporting the support crews, and just making sure everybody's fine, everybody's okay, everybody's having a good time. So the other thing about the hotel we're staying in is that most of the athletes stay in there as well, and you know, we share a meal, we share a drink after the day is done. So I think at the end of the 3 days, you just gain some good friends.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that sounds absolutely fantastic. Now, you mentioned right at the beginning that there are other independent Ultraman events. I think there's one in Canada, isn't there? Is there one in Brazil, one in Israel, one in Spain? So where do these fit in with your race? Is there a world championship? Do athletes get to go and compete in some of the other events?
What we've done last year, all the independent races. So it's a couple of them in Spain, Mexico as well, Brazil, and the one you mentioned in Israel and Canada. We agreed to give the winners an opportunity to race another event for free. So basically, if the winner of UMUK this year would like to race Canada next year or Brazil, they just have to contact the organizers there and go there. You know, they have the entry fee free. They probably have to just sort out their accommodation for them and the support crew. But I think it's a good opportunity to make sure that the athlete can race in another event.
Yeah, wow, that sounds like a bit of an incentive. Okay, so let's just tell the listeners then, your events, is it the final weekend of August?
Yeah, so it starts on the 30th of August, the 31st and 1st of September. So the bike, the health and safety briefings and the bike checks are on Thursday, the 29th of August. And then day one is the 30th of August, the Friday. Mm-hmm.
Is that the bank holiday weekend?
No, the weekend after the bank holiday weekend.
Okay. And where, if anyone's listening to this then and they're interested in participating this year, where will they be able to go to?
If you go to our website, racingquest.co.uk, there's also a couple of, we have a page and a group on Facebook. You can contact us any of those social media or through the website, and I'll make sure it's answered within a day, 24 hours.
What's the Facebook page called?
Is Racing Quest? UMUK.
Okay, well, what we'll do is we'll share that on the show notes. So just to confirm, it's Racing Quest UMUK for Facebook, and the website is racingquest.co.uk. Now, is it just a matter of entering and stumping up with the money, or is it really I've read somewhere that these events are invitation. So does that mean that you're not guaranteed to get a place once you've submitted your entry? It has to be approved by you and Darren and Claire.
Yes, it needs a little bit of explanation. All we do, we want to make sure that people fully understand what they're applying for. And it's not being a little bit facetious. It's to make sure that, you know, if you've done something like an Ironman, then that's not a prerequisite, but it means that we know you understand the level of training you're going to have to put in to be able to complete an event like ours, because the last thing we want is people to pay lots of money and not fully appreciate what they're taking on and have a bad experience. So the invitation really is based, what we're saying is, tell us what you've done. You're probably more qualified than you think anyway. I mean, people do lots and lots of different endurance activities, so you don't have to have done an ultra distance triathlon. You may be of a long distance swimmer, you know, an ultra runner or cyclist. But if you've done something of a comparable distance on one of the days, then we're confident that you know what you're taking on. So that's basically what that's about.
Okay. So folks, if you're listening and we've whetted your appetite with stories of adventure and planning and pushing yourself a little bit further in a beautiful part of the country, you know what to do next. You need to visit the racingquest.co.uk. Website, fill in the forms, send them off, press submit, and just wait for the response from Ben and Darren to say you're in, and then we'll see you there in August in Snowdonia.
Yeah, we can't wait, to be honest. I think we have three of your guys, Simon, racing this year for the 355.
I think you do, and I think that means that I'm going to be in attendance supporting them as well, Darren and Ben. So I'll definitely see you there, and I'll definitely be, of course, because I won't be racing, I'll be able to have a beer with you guys in the evening. But it'd be good. I like crewing for people and supporting as much as I do.
Excellent. Well, we're looking forward to that. We have a great time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, listen, gents. Unless you've got anything else to add, I'd like to say thanks for joining me. It's been an interesting conversation, and I'm fairly certain it's going to be a real experience in August. So hopefully, some of the listeners that are on today are going to be interested in joining us next year or the
Simon,
year.
Simon, many thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you very much, Simon.
Yeah, it's an absolute pleasure. So there you go, folks. That was Darren Welsh and Ben Periston, the race organisers from Racing Quest. They are running an adventure triathlon over 3 days in Snowdonia this August. It's called Ultraman UK. There are two distances for the solo events, 515K and 355K, and there's also a relay event. So if you're at all interested, you should have just heard the website details, but they'll be in the show notes. But for now, that's my thanks to those guys, Ben and Darren. My name's Simon Ward. I am your host every week on the Triathlon Coach Swapcast. Thank you again for listening, and we'll be back next week with some amazing guests. Enjoy your week.
That's a wrap for this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening to the conversation, and I hope you learned at least one thing. If this is the first time you've listened in, please go back and take a listen to some of our previous guests, and I can guarantee they will be just as good as the one you've just heard. If you've been a regular listener, then thank you for being a part of this journey with me so far. Finally, I'd like to take just a few seconds to tell you about my SWAT Inner Circle program. In the last few years, I've spent an awful lot of time creating training programs and resources to help you train and race at whatever triathlon distance you choose. And for some of the events outside of triathlon like aquabike, duathlon and swim run events. As a SWAT member, you get access to all of these plans for 12 months of the year, and on top of that we provide guidance on strength and conditioning, nutrition plus a whole host of other supportive activities which help you to train, recover and race better. We also have a really friendly Facebook community. It's an exclusive Facebook page for SWAT members only, and there are over 150 of them already. If you join, you'll be able to get access to that page, and you'll be able to ask for help, and our members are all too happy to provide guidance and advice based on their experiences. I'll also be there to help you find solutions to your training problems, and all you have to do is tag me in the Facebook page in one of your posts, or you can book a 15-minute phone call should you need one. If you'd like more information, or if you're ready to press the button and join the SWAT Inner Circle, just email beth@thetriathloncoach.com and she will send you all of the details. So that's all for this week. Hopefully I'll see you again next week, same time, same place, with a different guest.